Well, thank you, Paul and Bonnie. You know, they sing and play and play and sing for us so much, you know, over dozens and dozens, decades now. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the care you put into the music. We appreciate the variety, you know, everything from Paul's accordion to Bonnie on the piano to duets and singing along with special music. I like music, you know that, and I mean, and the meaning and the words of John Newton's song are so rich, right? So rich for us. And the grace of God does something rich for us. And over time, as the song kind of, you know, enjoins you, you know, by the third verse, you know, I think we should have all sung along, but, you know, we didn't want to ruin the arrangement. But as that grace settles in, you become extremely grateful. And it's this concept of gratefulness and gratitude that I would like to talk about today. I saw an article by Steve Andre, Managing Director of the Servant Leadership Association for Music. He writes for the Consumer Institute. And I read these things because every once in a while they come by, and I was intrigued by the title. The title of his work was a small essay. It says, Ignite Your Life with Gratitude. He's writing to music directors. He's saying, hey, you know, how can you inspire students if you don't have inspiration yourself? And where does that inspiration come from? Where does your life and its energy, its focus come from? And it comes from his comment is igniting your life with gratitude. It's an interesting concept. He brings out this lovely point. Do you want to unlock the extraordinary power within you? Well, you say, well, Frank, come on, that's a little bold, right? I mean, that's a little braggadocious to say that there's a concept that could ignite, that could reach the power that's in you. Well, we're saying that with respect to Pentecost, right? We're saying without the God Spirit, we are half ignited, right? We're a candle almost half lit, if you would. But there is something that happens, and I want to kind of go through that with respect to the concept of gratitude. The key lies in us not chasing more, as we know, we hear often, but in appreciating what we have, where we are. It's the simple acts of gratitude, we could say, a force so potent, Mr. Andre goes on to say, that it can transform your life from ordinary to extraordinary. And that's what we're here at church to talk about. How do we go from the ordinary to the extraordinary? And it's the love of God, it's the Spirit of God, it's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that reconciles us to a God who wants us to be extraordinary. Think about it. When you focus on what you lack, you become a void of negativity. Your mind becomes a breeding ground for fear, doubt, frustration. And when you shift your focus to the abundance in your life, you tap into the wellspring of positive energy. Gratitude is the fuel that ignites your passion, Mr. Andre says, propels your growth, and attracts more of what you desire. A few definitions. You know, thankfulness and gratitude. You say, well, what's one versus the other? Aren't they really the same? Well, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, right? Okay, you have to go someplace. Thankfulness is an expression of appreciation for something received or experienced, often as a reaction to a specific event or benefit. When you walk in and John or Mireya happen to hand you a bottle of water, you say thank you. That's thankfulness. You're thanking for a specific act, a specific gesture of kindness. But gratitude is deeper. It's the ongoing sense of appreciation or acknowledgement of the goodness in your life. The ongoing sense of appreciation, and that's why I reference it back to this lovely piece of Amazing Grace. When you know, there are days when all these things settle into your heart, mind, and soul, and you realize, you know, I've walked with God a long time. You know, I've known God. And some days you go, it's been a long time, but yet maybe I feel like I don't know them, God and Jesus Christ, as much as I wish I did. And then you kind of renew and kindle that. It's an interesting thought. But gratitude, the definition goes on to express, often is independent of immediate circumstances and can include a focus on relationships and broader life's experiences. Meaning gratitude is what we come to have over time as the penny goes all the way to the bottom. Did you see the article this week that the pennies are going away? Did you see that? Do you know that the penny is going away? After 200 and some years, the penny is going away. You know, we used to have penny loafers, right? Pennies in our loafers, remember? There's a puff piece in the Wall Street Journal about that today. Do you ever go to the front page of the Wall Street Journal down in this little corner? They always have a puff piece, you know. If the headlines depress you, there's always a puff piece to kind of lift you up. I don't know how lifting us up, I was talking about a penny going away, but at least. Do you know that also says, I love the factoids in those articles, but approximately $68 million of pennies are lost every year. And they say that there are approximately $11 billion sitting in penny jars in our cupboards. Maybe we should have a penny drive. Maybe that's what we should do for the feast. Where's Marie? I saw Marie back. Yeah, Marie is away too. Hey, Marie, what? That's going to be a heavy load, isn't it? Yeah. Might as well put them to use, though. So in short, we could say thankfulness is typically momentary and event-specific, while gratitude reflects a more sustained, a more holistic mindset. So today I would like to talk about the science of gratitude. This is not a panacea. This is a part of your toolkit as a Christian, right? I'm not going to talk and say, oh, you have to do this or nothing goes forward. It's another piece to the pie. Okay, so gratitude, I would say to you, is not just a feel-good practice. It is backed by science. It is supported by scripture. Numerous studies and spiritual teachings show that gratitude can, when it is done with God's motive of love and the Spirit of God, empower you, ignite you, and make you extraordinary. Let's put all the elements together. So there are four things that we would like to talk about. That we know from research, that gratitude can boost your mood, attitude can improve your relationships, enhance your health, and increase your resilience. Now, which of you don't want a better mood? Which of us don't want better relationships? We all want better health, right? Enhance your health. And we all want to resilience. We want to go the distance. And gratitude is something that helps us go the distance. So let's look at these. First of all, let's talk about boosting your mood. Gratitude floods your brain with positive emotions, elevating your overall well-being. Nice phrase, Frank. Yeah, sure. Really? Well, I'll go and quote a study in a moment. But first, let's take you to a scripture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I wanted to read the scripture first because then we're going to watch how the science and the research has backed this point up. Paul was not writing from a scientific point of view. He was writing from a realist point of view. A realist of somebody who, what? Somebody who had the Spirit of God, who was trying to use the motive of God's love to live life, to preach, to know, and to comprehend, and to encourage other people to walk the Christian walk. And notice what he says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul's saying, look, I'm telling you it works. It's a miracle. It's between you and God. And when you do these things and you have this attitude of gratitude, what happens? Something happens. He says, look, it's which surpasses all understanding. We have some understanding today. But first, let me mention the word thanksgiving in Greek is eucharista, as in Eucharist. Eucharista. It means to give freely gratitude. You see, gratitude is not just us saying, oh, I have to be aware, I have to be aware. It's what builds, it's allowing the overall effect of God's love, care, forgiveness, to settle in, and the way you then express it to others, it becomes this whole package. And thus, it becomes freely given. Eucharista is thanksgiving to God. Practicing gratitude activates, in the science world, okay, activates brain's reward pathways, increasing levels of dopamine, serotonin, neurotransmitters associated with happiness and relaxation. This activation leads to improved mood and reduced symptoms of depression. You see there, it activates the brain's reward pathways. Now, if I had slides up, I would show you the bibliography, but my point is, and I'll reference a couple of the names of the studies, is that there's evidence for this that's true, that if you can have thanksgiving, if you can offer that appreciation to God, if you become enriched by thinking about it, it does change your mood. Haight and Cable, in a work in 2013 entitled Beyond Reciprocity, Gratitude and Relationships in Everyday Life. Another study by Emmons and McCullough in 2003, Counting Blessings versus Burdens, an Experimental Investigation of Gratitude and Subjective Well-being in Daily Life, published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Another work by O'Leary and Dockray, The Effects of Two Novel Gratitude in Mindfulness Interventions on Well-being, 2015, the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. And a fourth work created by Zahn, Gardito, Moll, and Grafman, 2009, Individual Differences in Posterior Cortical Volume Correlate with Proneness to Gratitude. You want me to read that title again? I like the title. You can tell that one's really scientific. That one's really specific. Individual differences in posterior cortical volume correlate with proneness to gratitude. They really studied this out. The short version is gratitude through prayer brings peace, joy, and uplifts the spirit. Science agrees. Now, if we have an uplifted spirit, this allows us to go to number two, improve your relationships. If we have an increased mood, perhaps it's easier to improve our relationships. But when you express gratitude, you strengthen your bonds with others. You foster deeper connections. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, Paul enjoins the Ephesians. He says to each other, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If you need reminded, you mean God forgave you through Christ. So, well, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Sometimes you have to forgive. These studies, four or five of them that I'm quoting, expressing gratitude strengthens social bonds. And here's how. The studies show that gratitude increases oxytocin levels, a hormone linked to bonding and trust, thereby deepening connections and relationships. When you express gratitude, literally the brain says that sends a signal and the chemical goes out and now it allows for more bonding. Allows for a greater trust. The brain, the body, we are all complex. And these emotions, they trigger literally chemical reactions. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, Paul, sometimes, you know, we talk about it as the love chapter. But I think Paul had come to realize that this was the motive of God to do everything. And it has to be our motive. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, and it is not puffed up. Love, you see, when we do it for the right reason, when we do it because God is love, and we're trying to emulate that, then what happens? We build a bond that it grows deeper, and the body and the chemical reaction happens, and it says the oxytocin goes out, and we have a greater bond, a greater trust in another person. You know, Paul also talked about this in Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the scripture in Romans 12, verse 3 reads, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." It's the challenge in any set of relationships, right? How do you, and Paul's speaking to here, there has to be an attitude of appreciation, an attitude of understanding, an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude that thankfulness that grows to gratitude for another person. You know, we often think, and we quote Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpens iron. I need to take out my sword, and we need to go at it." You know, I think that's a little overrated. I don't know about you, but iron sharpens iron. You know, I mean, you know, if I say to my wife tit for tat, she says something, and I say, "What in the world did you want that for?" You know what I mean? The first thing you know, well, you got iron, you got sparks. Right? Do you want sparks? We're not after a fire, right? There are moments when, yes, you want iron sharpens iron. You're in an intellectual discussion, and it's an idiom, right? It's not a 100% commanded way of approaching things and people, right? You know, Valerie was listening to a podcast on something, and I thought it was very interesting. It was talking about sometimes the retort came, and when other people are at you a little bit, I thought it was an interesting phrase. It says, what if you looked at somebody and says, "I need you to think better of me"? You know what I mean? Paul's saying in Romans to think not of yourself over highly. He's not saying don't think of yourself, but sometimes we have to push to people, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm not quite as bad as you think I am. Can we help people live up to who we know they are?" I thought that was an interesting phrase. And over in 2 Timothy, you know, Paul's writing to Timothy, and I came upon this because I was working on something else, but, you know, McLaren's Expositions is writing, and he's telling us about 2 Timothy chapter 1, and why Paul is entreating Timothy, and how he's talking to Timothy. And I thought the way McLaren writes this fit right here is we're talking about how you improve relationships and how the attitude of gratitude that settles in and how you think and approach people. Listen to how McLaren says this in what he thinks Paul is really trying to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "But Paul loved him," meaning Timothy, "too ardently to give him cold counsels." Sometimes, you know, we just want to tell people like it is. "Well, you're just blah, blah, blah." Cold counsel? You know, cold counsel is like a glass of ice water thrown in your face. Sometimes you don't need that kind of counsel. McLaren goes on to write, the advices he's giving Timothy are wrapped in the softest covering of gracious affection and recognition of Timothy's inherited faith and personal devotion to Paul. Because what's he say? "I am confident of the faith that was in you and your grandmother and your mother." He's enjoining them that this is the whole experience, right? He's coming at Timothy as caringly as he can. I mean, some commentators say that Paul's just, his words outpace his emotion here. He really wants to encourage Timothy to use his spirit. And I'm encouraging today. I mean, remember, if we can think about gratitude and thinking about how it can better our relationships, it's true the brain will kick these chemicals in, and it actually creates a desire to bond more. You know, when you have a great conversation with somebody and you're really in sync, you just kind of feel like, you know, a few days later, "Oh, I need to call them again." Why? But if every time you call them, they give you cold counsel and throw a glass of ice water in your face, like, okay, it'll be a few weeks before I do that call again, right? Do you remember how Paul lovingly referred and remembered his interactions with the New Testament. He came back to Jerusalem. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, he talks about Peter and Paul, and John and the others, and he was wondering, how are they going to receive me? Remember, he's arranging to kill all the people in the New Testament, right? And now he comes back to Jerusalem, and he says, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Paul says, it was just, they extended the hand, we go, oh, okay. Yes, we can talk, we're Christian brothers, it's all going to be okay. The oxytocin just ran from his brain. They developed a relationship that clearly saw through many, many decades here in the New Testament. So gratitude fosters unity, it strengthens bonds, and builds a community of faith. Gratitude towards others and having a better mental mood lead us to point number three, enhancing your health. Enhancing our health. Gratitude can reduce stress, lower blood pressure, and improve sleep quality. So all of you who have high blood pressure, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for you. Well, that'll just turn the opposite. You know, anybody in your family, whoever has high blood pressure, what? They usually have white coat syndrome, right? The moment they see a doctor, the moment they see their blood pressure, it goes out the roof, right? Just like saying, well, have gratitude and your blood pressure will go down. Well, it may take a little more nuance than that, okay? But it does, through scientific research, know it reduces stress and lowers that and actually improves sleep quality. A study by Philip Adams, an article entitled Relationships, Resilience, and Well-Being, The Science of Gratitude, published by the University of Maryland Health in 2022, makes this comment, that gratitude has been linked to better sleep quality, lower blood pressure, and reduced inflammation. For instance, individuals who maintain a gratitude journal report falling asleep faster and experience better sleep. What's it say in Proverbs 17, verse 22? Proverbs 17, 22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. What an incredible thing, right? A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A heart full of gratitude and joy positively impacts, these studies say, our overall health. So with improved health, enhanced health, with improved relationships and an attitude of a boosted mood from gratitude, we can talk about number four. Increase your resilience. Increasing your resilience by focusing on this positive, you develop a stronger ability to cope with challenges. An interesting thought. We're saying if you're positive, it's a little easier to deal with the negative and the challenges. Okay, kind of, maybe. You know, there's a study by NeuroLaunch published in 2024. Entitled Brain Regions Controlling Gratitude, Neuroscience of Appreciation, where they state, regular gratitude practice can enhance resilience by reducing your stress hormones like cortisol and promoting a positive outlook. Once again, what we think about, how we impact others, all has an effect on us and those around us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. We often read it. Notice it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Interesting words, rejoice, pray always, giving thanks in all circumstances. That's easier said than done sometimes. But there is a mindset that settles in that God has got this. That God is your God, that Christ is your Savior, that there is a pattern to life, that there is a plan to life. The holy days remind it to us. The Sabbath rest reminds us to us. It brings us back to God. It brings us back to the reality that God has a purpose through love and care to deliver, we know what, many sons to glory. Another study, Practicing Gratitude for Better Health and Well-Being, published by the University of Utah Health, in 2021 states, for instance, research indicates that participants who practice gratitude had lower cortisol levels and exhibited greater resilience to emotional setbacks and negative experiences. Having this well-being of gratitude allows you to take on the world. All the studies seem to point to it. Gratitude equips believers to endure challenges with faith and hope. So we've talked about boosting your mood, improving your relationships, enhancing your health, and increasing your resilience. So I would like to give you four takeaways. You know, this can seem like a puff piece, right? Oh yeah, just think better, feel better, blah, blah, blah. But when done with God's love and His Spirit, and that's what we're talking about next weekend, is the implanting of God's Spirit in our life. Jesus spent a lot of energy and a lot of pages, John records, right, asking that this God would send the Spirit once He went away. Why? Because Jesus knew that man needs the Spirit of God. Jesus had the Spirit of God. He knew what He accomplished. Look, He never lost sight of the focus of being the Savior of the world. He occupied this space. He owned it. He knew His job. He knew what would come. Notice it says in Hebrews, it just says, for the joy that was set before Him, the joy of crucifixion, read anything about it. And you go, there's no joy in any of that whatsoever. Why? He saw us. He saw years, millennia ahead when there would be a family of God. There would be so many people with God's full DNA paired with the Spirit of God, that there would just be an overflowing. The New Testament, and even the writers of Revelation, and even back in Isaiah, they're just, they gush over themselves, that the peace shall be no end, there'll be no end. The rivers of living water shall flow. Why? They just, the language runs ahead of them, because the motive of God, of love, produces something. And when that settles into our heart, mind, and soul, it becomes really incredible gratitude. But here are four possible ways to cultivate gratitude. There are four: journaling, mindful appreciation, expressing gratitude, and meditation. The first one, gratitude journaling. Dedicate a few minutes, it is recommended each day, these studies say, to write down what you're grateful for. Try to be specific. The more specific, the better. Focus on details, small victories, and people who make a difference in your life. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Tony Valenzuela's mother made the comment, does she still do this, Tony? She had this blessings jar. And when things went well, she would take a little piece of paper or something and she puts it in. And at the end of the year, she takes them all out of the jar and reads them. She still does it. What an incredible thing, right? To see that jar sitting on the, where does she keep it, Tony? Dining room. Every time you go by that, you know what it is, right? It's an incredible thing. That's how, you know what I mean? She figured out, it's her tip, right? They're saying, these writers, these people, researchers are saying, keep a small journal. Write down a few words, you know what I mean? Psalm 103, verse 2. Psalm 103. You like this verse. 103, verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You know, Valerie commented to me today, several days ago or a week ago. She says, you often read this scripture, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what does it mean? How can we bless God? So I looked it up. The Hebrew word, we're in the Old Testament, it's Hebrew. The Hebrew word for bless is barak, B-A-R-A-K. And barak means literally to kneel, to adore, to bless, to cause to kneel, to praise, to salute. So when the scripture says, bless the Lord, think about, in our parlance today, taking a knee to thank God, right? Taking a knee because of the adoration you have. But bless the Lord by what? By not forgetting. The word forget is sakah, S-A-K-A-H in Hebrew. It means to cease, to forget, to mislay. Let us not mislay all the blessings that have come our way of knowing God, of having freedom of sin with Avi's message, the freedom that Pentecost represents, of not being what? A slave to sin. We have the capacity. know what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, stirring up the gift of God, fan into flames, for you've not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And the word power is what? The word power there is dynamis. It means capacity, the ability. We have at our disposal the ability to reign in the self, to reign in the focus, to actually control the thought. The Spirit's not controlling us. We have what? The gift to offer guidance to our own hearts, minds, and souls. So journaling helps us remember and record God's blessings. That's what it does for us. The second one, after journaling, is mindful appreciation. Mindful appreciation. Take a moment to pause and appreciate the simple things. Remember the phrase we often say, stop and smell the roses, right? Stop. You know, sometimes I do that. We have two rose bushes on the way around the house to the trash can. One that's beside the front door, and we're trying to debate whether to replace that one. It's really old. It's been there since we moved in, and the rootstock looks a little gnarly, but Valerie was just saying this morning, she goes, but the roses are out again. I hate to get rid of that rose bush. I like the color of that rose, right? But it gets all this afternoon heat. But sometimes when I go to the trash at night, I'll smell it. Sometimes my sinuses don't let me smell it. I can't smell it. I think it smells, but anyway, I try. But think about the warm sun on your skin. Think about the taste of your favorite food or laughter of a loved one, the advice they always gave you. I think of two scriptures in Luke. In Luke chapter 2, I can see Luke seeking out and talking to Jesus' mother as he's trying to write down all the things that he knew about and had happened in the New Testament. And notice how at the one of these situations, Luke records. And where do you think he got it from? Because this is about the beginning of Christ's life and the birth. It says, verse 19 of Luke 2, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Mothers are very good at this, women, usually very good at this, pondering, keeping up that little thing to remember, to ponder. Oh, I remember, you know what I mean? And our kids go, oh, mom's going to tell that story again. And then our kids finally get old enough that they love hearing the story again. That's always wonderful. And over the page in verse 51, it says, and then he went down with them. Remember, Jesus was he stayed back in during unleavened bread Passover, scared his mother and dad by the jeebies, okay? It says, and then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. She realized that the Son of God was maturing, that he had a role to fill, and she remembers these things. And she says to Luke, and he writes them down. Luke chapter 1, 2, and 3 have Mary written all over them. Luke talked to her, my conviction is, personally. And she remembered these things. She remembered how he was growing in the faith of God. Let us keep these things. Let's have an appreciation and reflection for God's handiwork, wherever it may be. So, journaling, mindful appreciation. Our third takeaway is expressing gratitude. Don't just feel it. You truly have to express it. You have to tell loved ones how much you care. You have to send thank you notes to people. You have to write people notes and letters. You have to share your gratitude with the world around. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Paul was just such a sensitive writer. He seemed to be so sensitive to the Spirit of God and how it was working. He says, chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it comes off the page so easily. Giving thanks always for all things. Well, that takes a little more effort than just giving thanks for all things. I mean, you know, how do you give thanks for flat tires? You know what I mean? Usually it's pretty busy on the side of the road. You know what I mean? I used to think about before I'd go away sometimes, on a business trip or something, something would go wrong with the house. And I was thinking about this the other day, and actually Bob had texted when he found, you know, the plumber going down the street, and he texted me in the day afterwards or something. And I retorted to him, I says, well, I used to have this happen. And finally I thought, oh, this is a blessing. It happens before I leave home, before I leave for a trip. My wife doesn't have to deal with it. I don't have to pay exorbitant prices. It always works out better when we're together. It's a problem, right? Not one by themselves. You know, if you're in Chicago and your wife calls and says a hot water tank's out, and you're like, okay, whatever he says, just pay the bill, right? That's not what you want. You know, when you're together, it seems so much easier. You know, and I hot cart, you know, we see a lot of need sometimes, and to send people cards, you'll see addresses. I'm reminded here, expressing gratitude, let us not miss an opportunity to remember life, to remember somebody in need. We don't have to say a lot, but you listen, and you listen to the people who receive cards, and they treasure them. They open that mailbox, and out they flood, right? It's our way of building gratitude, of thanking them for the life. You know, I watch Israel TV usually for a few minutes in the evening, and when one of their soldiers die, they have an incredible phrase after they account the name and count the incident, and then they say, may their name be a blessing. May the memory of their name be a blessing. And isn't that the way we can approach all the people that we come to? You know what I mean? How we reach out to them. You know, I get on Sabbath mornings, Leo Munoz up in Bakersfield sends me a little text, Happy Sabbath, and it usually has a picture of flowers and a steaming cup of coffee or something. And this morning he sent one again, and he didn't have any coffee in it, so I teased him back, and I took a picture of my coffee mug with California on the side, by the way. And I says, I'll add this to the picture. And he says, well, but Frank, it's empty. You know, but this retort, this opportunity to try to engage with others, right? It builds up the oxytocin, the cortisol, all these hormones, all these things actually are there. They work. You know, I would encourage us, and I watched this recently, you know, visiting Kathleen Grady. And hello, Kathleen. She can probably hear us more than she sees us. But, you know, I was there. I've been there twice when the head nurse comes in. And it's like she pops around the corner. Kathleen, before I go off shift, I just wanted to say hello. You doing okay? I got the impression that she doesn't do that with everybody in the building. She comes in because Kathleen doesn't scream at her, doesn't shout at her. You know, that there's this appreciation for, you know, and of course, you know, Kathleen has all of her wits about her. And so she builds this relationship. And I thought, well, that's gratitude. You know what I mean? She shows appreciation for all these services rendered in such a way as to encourage others to even be more willing to help her. That's something as we grow older, right? We have to nurture. We have to increase that capacity. I don't know whether you ever see it, but every once in a while, you know, I'll get somebody on the phone and, oh, Frank, you know, I was wondering, you know, and I know it's a lot of trouble, but, you know, you've been such a dear. Would you consider, you know, booking my round the world trip and spending 100 hours on this, you know, whatever it is. But I'm saying, you know, some people can just ask, they can ask you in such a way that you would give them the world, right? It's just, they have a knack. They approach you as if you're a friend and a relative. They assume the best of you. And what? They get often the best of you. You know, it's an incredible thing that happens, expressing gratitude. Expressing gratitude to others glorifies God because we do it through His motive. It strengthens our relationships with others. And our fourth one of journaling, mindful appreciation, expressing gratitude is meditation. Meditation, it's a little bit of a nuance between mindful appreciation and meditation, but meditation is the opportunity to focus on the feelings of gratitude and think it through to cultivate a deeper appreciation. Philippians 4:8, Paul put it this way, as he said it here, And we've read these things, but now we realize there is some medical, scientific, internal body things going on that actually make it all work. Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. You see, otherwise you're thinking Paul is being Pollyanna here. Just think the best, think the best. No, Paul's saying, let the penny drop. Let God's presence be known. Let the love of God come out. Let the Spirit of God inspire you. You think on these things, he says, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, thinking that the other person can actually rise to the occasion and help us. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What a wonderful thing. Meditation of God's presence helps deepen gratitude and inner peace. Gratitude is not a one-time event. It is a daily practice, clearly. By making gratitude a part of our life, and expressing it with the motive, as I said, of God's love through the engagement of the discerning Holy Spirit, we will unlock a world of possibilities. We'll experience, I submit to you, greater joy, deeper connections, and a more fulfilling life. Gratitude.